Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. This series of recordings is a joint project of the Orthodox Union's Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavuah Foundation. We are at the very, very bottom of Daf Yud Chet Amud Aleph. That's Daf 18a. We just have four words left on the bottom of the Daf, so we're at the very last line, where it says, Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught. That's an abbreviation, Tuf Reish. You can tell it's an abbreviation because it has those two lines in between the Tuf and the Reish that always suggests that something is an abbreviation. And here it stands for Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught. Okay, so this is from our Mishnah. Kara Sirugin Yatza. If he read it, the Megillah, in a halting fashion, that is, there were breaks. He read a few verses, and then he made a pause. And then he read a few verses, and he made a pause. Yatza. In that regard, he fulfills his obligation. And we discussed this previously. We flip the page. We're on Daf Yud Chet Amud Bet. However, it says, Sirusin, if he reads it in an uprooted fashion, lo yatza, then he has not fulfilled his obligation. And uprooted fashion means out of order, flipping it out of order. Now, this is an interesting question, because our Mishnah also mentions reading it in an out-of-order way, and it says, lemafreya, if he reads it retroactively, meaning he reads earlier parts, he reads later parts first and earlier parts later, that he's not yotzei. So the question is, are these the same? From a glance at the Rambam, it seems like he thinks they're exactly the same. He brings them together, and there's just two ways of saying it. You can say lemafreya, or you can say sirusin. It's possible that they are different. Seems to me that lemafreya may refer to whole chapters, whereas sirusin may refer to verses or even words, where you read a verse, you read, let's say, verse 1, then you read verse 3, then you read verse 2. So you've read it in an out-of-order fashion. That would be sirusin, whereas lemafreya would mean you read chapter 1, then you read chapter 5, then you read chapter 4, you read the chapters out of order. I don't know if that's true or not, but in any case, both sirusin and lemafreya, any reading the Megillah out of order is no good. Okay. Rav Muna Omer, Rav Muna said, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Af Besirugin, even related to making a pause while reading the Megillah, Im Shaha Kidei Ligmor Eskula Choser LaRosh. If you pause too long, so if he waits for as long as it would take for him to have finished the entire Megillah, Choser LaRosh, then he has to start over again. So the maximum pause is the amount of time it would take to read the rest of the Megillah. And if you pause longer than that, so if you pause an hour, you'd have to start over. But if you only paused for 10 minutes, you would be okay. Okay, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Halacha k'Rav Muna. The halacha is like Rav Muna. There is a limitation to how long you can pause for. Sha'amar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, who said in, you know, who quoted the halacha in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. So it's really Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, but Rav Muna was a student of Rabbi Yehuda, and he was saying it in his teacher's name. Amar Le Abaye la Rav Yosef. Abaye said to Rav Yosef, and he asked him a question here. Kidei ligmor es kula, when you say that he can pause for as long as it would take to finish the Megillah, mehecha dekai lesefa, is it as long as it would take from wherever he's at to get to the end? Odilma, or maybe, meresha lesefa, or from the beginning to the end. Now let's assume that it takes a half an hour to read the Megillah. So if the parameter is that you can pause for half an hour, which is the amount of time it takes to go from to read the entire Megillah. Of course, there are people that read it in 20 minutes and people that read it in 45 minutes, so depending on how long you boo for Haman, et cetera, et cetera. But we would establish what the ordinary, you know, average of reading it is. Or is it depend on where you're up to? So if he pauses in the middle of the eighth chapter, so then there's only like 5 or 6 minutes left in the Megillah. So depending on where you're pausing, it might determine how long your pause could be. Amar Le, so he answers back to him, Meresha Lesefa, no, it's only from the beginning to the end, meaning it's a standard amount, as long as it takes to read the Megillah. De'im Kain, for otherwise, Natata Dvaracha L'Shiurin, you're making the matter difficult to measure, because since every pause happens at a different place, you're creating a whole requirement to measure things in a way that will become confusing and onerous. So we only have one measure from however long it takes to read the Megillah. The question is, do we paskin this way? Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Amar Rav. Rabbi Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, who said in the name of Rav, so this is Rav's teaching, Halacha k'Rabbi Munah. The halacha is like Rabbi Muna. In other words, you can only pause for as long as it would take to read the whole Megillah. Ushmuel amar, but Shmuel says, Ein halacha k'Rabbi Muna. The halacha is not like Rabbi Muna. Now often, of course, Rav and Shmuel disagree. In our previous recording, we encountered a situation where Rav and Shmuel agreed. They both agreed that the Megillah could be written and read in Greek. And they said to Amri Tarvaihu, they said it jointly. But so in that case, they agreed, which is pretty powerful. But here they disagree about whether or not the halacha is like Rabbi Muna. Besura matnu hachi. In a different academy in Babylonia, in the academy of Sura, they taught the Mishnah this way that we just read it. Sorry, in Sura they taught it the way we just read it. Bepumpadisa, in Pumpadita, which is a different Babylonian yeshiva, matnu hachi. They learned it this way. Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav halacha k'Rabbi Muna, Ushmu Amar ein halacha k'Rabbi Muna. It's basically the same teaching. It's just that instead of saying it in the name of Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba, they said it in the name of Rav Kahana. But basically, it all agrees. So Sura and Pumpadita agree that Rav believes that the halacha is like Rabbi Muna, and Shmuel thinks it's not like Rabbi Muna. However, Rav Bibi matni ipcha. Rav Bibi learned it hafuch. Upside, the opposite way. Rav Amar ein halacha k'Rabbi Muna. He taught that Rav said that the halacha is not like Rabbi Muna, Ushmuel Amar halacha k'Rabbi Muna, and that Shmuel felt it was like Rabbi Muna. So we still have a machloket, and we still have a machloket between Rav and Shmuel. It's just the question of whose opinion is whose, and that's important because, for instance, we paskin like Rav. Generally speaking, in these kinds of machlokeses, we paskin like Rav. So knowing which opinion is important. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Nakut de Rav Bibi biyadecha. He goes, okay, we have three different versions of what was said here. He said, grab Rav Bibi's version in your hand. Rav Bibi's is the correct version. In other words, Rav says the halacha is not like Rabbi Muna. But how do I know that Rav Bibi's is right? He says, it makes sense to me. De Shmuel hu de chayish l'chiyechida. Shmuel is the one who is stringent for minority opinions. So here we have Shmuel who is saying that you have to hold like Rabbi Muna, which is a minority opinion, who says stringently that if you pause for longer than it takes to read the whole Megillah, you have to go back and start over. So it's a minority opinion of Rav Muna, and it is a stringent opinion of that minority opinion. And that makes sense that Shmuel would hold that way. And if Shmuel holds like Rav Muna, then it would make sense that Rav would say that the halacha is not like Rav Muna. I can prove to you, he said from another example, that Shmuel cares about the minority opinion when it's a stringent opinion. Ditnan, as we learned in a Mishnah, this has nothing to do with Megillah or Purim. It's just another halachic debate in which we'll see that Shmuel holds like the minority opinion. So the situation is a Shomeret Yavam, which is the following situation. According to the Torah, we have something called leveret marriage, which is yibum, which is that if there is a man who's married to a woman and the man dies without having any children, that the man's brothers are supposed to marry his widow and have children with her that will carry on their brother's line. And if they do not want to marry her, then they can do a ritual called chalitza, in which they refuse to marry her and she rejects them. And then they end it. But no matter how you look at it, they either need to marry her, which is called yibum, or do chalitza. When the brother dies and the widow is just sitting there, they are in a situation where she is called a shomeret yavam. Something needs to happen to her. Either she needs to be married by one of the brothers, or she needs to be rejected by the brothers, and then after a certain period of time, she can go on and get married to someone else if she so chooses. So here's a situation where the brothers have to deal with this woman who is their brother's widow. However, instead of doing the right thing, shekidesh achiv es achota, and what happened is that one of the brothers went and became betrothed. He got engaged to her sister. And it could be that it doesn't necessarily have to be her sister. Maybe it could be any woman. But he betrothed himself to another woman. Now, he's not supposed to do that because his marriage prospects are supposed to be limited by the fact that he and his brothers have a responsibility to deal with their brother's widow first. Now, the thing is, the responsibility devolves on the oldest brother, and this brother is not the oldest brother. So you could argue that the responsibility is only on the oldest brother to deal with this, but the younger brothers do not have the responsibility. Or you could argue that until it's resolved one way or the other, all the brothers are in a state of suspended animation. So he is not supposed to go get betrothed to anyone until the situation with his brother's widow is resolved. Okay, so, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, in the name of Yehuda ben Beteira, Amru, they said, Omrim lo, we say to this brother who got betrothed to to the widow's sister, Hamtain, wait, ad sheyaseh achicha hagadol ma'aseh, until your older brother does an action. In other words, he got engaged and he wants to get married, and they say, no, you can't get married until your older brother either marries your dead brother's widow, or does chalisa to her, but you have to wait until then. Tosfos interestingly points out, though, that if he went ahead and got married to her, that they would be married. So the marriage is fine. We're just saying as a matter of policy, if he betrothed her, he shouldn't go ahead and get married to her until it's clear whether or not his older brother is going to do yibum or chalitza. Okay, Amar Shmuel, and Shmuel said, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. Shmuel says, the halacha is k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. Now, from this, it's clear that the rabbis do not think that he needs to wait. In other words, the rabbis think that this brother can go ahead and get married. He's not the oldest brother. The obligation to do yibum or chalisa does not fall on him, so he can go ahead and get married. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira holds a minority opinion, which is a stringent opinion, that he has to wait. And Shmuel holds that the halacha is like the minority stringent opinion. In other words, we see that this is Shmuel's style. When there's a minority stringent opinion, he holds by it. So in our case as well, where we have a minority stringent opinion of Rav Muna, who says that if you wait longer than the amount it takes to read a whole Megillah, in your pausing, you have to go back and start the Megillah over, that would make sense that it's like Shmuel. Okay, so that's the end of the sugya. In our Gemara, it never clearly establishes whether or not really the halacha is like Rabbi Muna or not. It seems like since the conclusion of the Gemara seems to indicate that Rav doesn't pasken like Rav Muna, that there is no limit to how long you can pause for, and that seems to be the halacha, that there is no actual outer limit. On the other hand, there is a total limit. You can't wait until after Purim, so at some point you have to continue reading the Megillah. But if for some reason you read, let's say, the first chapter of the Megillah, and then you had to pause for 6 hours for some reason, there was a fire drill, you could come back and start from chapter 2. You would not have to go back and read chapter 1 again. You might ask some interesting side questions, like if you went and watched a movie or had a nice conversation, would you have to go back to the beginning? Are we assuming here that the only issue at play here is the gap? But if there was a hefsek, if you went off and did other activities, perhaps you would have to go back and start the Megillah again. But that is a topic for another time. Okay, next topic. We are now in the skinny lines, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 lines up in the skinny lines. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, He shmit ba sofer otiot, if the scribe left out letters from the Megillah, o psukin, or even whole verses, Vikaran Hakore, and the one who was reading it read them. In other words, there was a missing verse in the Megillah, but the person who read it just inserted that missing verse. Kimeturgeman, like a translator, Hametargem Yatza, the one who translated it is Yotze. Now this is interesting because he's reading that verse by heart, which we already said is you're not Yotze for, but in this case maybe it's just one verse or one word, maybe it is allowed. Also, it indicates that the one who reads it is Yotze, but it's unclear if all the people listening to him are Yotze. Since he read it by heart, perhaps they do not fulfill their obligations. Meitve, the Gemara asks a question. Hayu ba, from another source, Hayu ba otiot mitushtashot o mikuraot, if you had a Megillah where some of the letters were smudged so that they were illegible, or they were ripped, they were torn, im rishuman nikar, if they are legible, if the outline of the letters is clear, is recognizable, kshera, then the Megillah is kosher. The im lav, psula, and if not, then it's pasul. Now here we're not talking about reading Megillahs, we're talking about writing Megillahs. So it's not about the action of reading the Megillah, it's about the cheftza of the Megillah scroll itself. But it says that if there are letters missing from the Megillah that you can't read them, that it's no good. And here we said that you can fulfill your obligation even if the scribe left out some letters. That doesn't seem to go together. Lo kasha, there's no contradiction, there's no question. Habikula, here we're talking about the whole Megillah, meaning here is a Megillah in which the whole thing is smudged. And if the whole thing is smudged, and presumably when we say the whole thing, we mean or the majority, rubo kakulo, the majority. If the majority of the Megillah is smudged or torn, then it's not kosher. Ha b'miksata, here it's with a small portion. Here, if you're missing a word or a verse here and there, that does not invalidate the scroll. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Hishmit bahakore pasuk echad. What if it's not the scribe who left out a verse in writing the Megillah, but the person reading the Megillah left out a verse? He just didn't read one verse. Lo yo. So it seems clear here that you're not yotze. You have to hear the whole Megillah. It's possible, and we do paskin this way, that you don't have to write the whole Megillah. I had this happen to me once, where the scribe left out a word in the Megillah. There was actually a missing word. And I read the Megillah. I read from that Megillah several times. And then someone came up to me afterwards and said, I think you missed a word. And we went and looked in the Megillah, and there was a word. The word shum was just missing in the Megillah. And the question was, the Megillah scroll is still kosher, even though it's missing the letter, as we said. The question is, when I read the Megillah, did I include the word shum just by autopilot because I know how to read the Megillah, or did I leave it out? So the Megillah is kosher even though it's missing the word shum, but if I read it to everyone without saying the word shum, they would not be yotzei and I would not be yotzei. I had to have said the word, but if I included the word even though it wasn't written there, then everyone would be okay. Okay. Lo yomar ekra et kula v'achakach ekra oto pasuk. If he missed a certain verse, he shouldn't say, oh, I'll go back and read it later. You know, I'll finish the Megillah now, and then I'll go back and read that verse. Elakore me'ota pasuk ve'elech. He should go back to the verse he missed and read it, and then continue straight forward. And that's obvious to me, because otherwise, he's reading it besirus. He's reading it upside down, or lemafreya, backwards, right? He's not reading it in the right way. You have to go back to the verse you missed and read everything in order. Nichnas lebet ha'kneset, if he comes into the shul, umatzat Sibur, and he finds the congregation, Shekaru Chetzia, that they have read half the Megillah. He got to shul late, and they are starting chapter 6. Lo yomar, ekra chetzia imat Sibur. Okay, I'll read this half, or I'll listen to it with the congregation. I'll hear 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ve'achar kach ekra chetzia, and then I'll go back and read chapters 1 through 5. Don't do it that way. Ela kore otam mitchilata ve'atsofa. You have to hear it from beginning to end. If you get late to the Megillah reading, you can't just jump in where you are. You have to hear the whole Megillah. Okay, one more phrase from our Mishnah. Mitnam neim yatza. You have a guy reading the Megillah, but he is falling asleep. So this is the late Megillah reading, and the guy is drowsing off while he's reading the Megillah. Or maybe he's sitting by himself in a hotel room. This also happened to me one time, and he's reading the Megillah all by himself, and he's falling asleep while he's reading it. Hechidami, what is the case exactly? Hechidami mitnam neim. What is the case of falling asleep? Like, how asleep is he? Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, there's a famous line, nim velo nim. He's drowsing, but he's not really asleep. Tir velo tir. He's kind of half awake, but he's not really awake. So he's neither awake nor asleep. Dekaru leva ani. If you were to call him, if you were to say Avi, Avi, he would say, yeah, yes, yes, I'm here. Here I am. I'm awake. But he's kind of out of it. Velo yada la adure svara. But he's not making any sense. He can't say, he's not saying things in a sensible way. But v'chimid karu, but if you remind him, v'chimid karu le, if you remind him, midkar. So he's awake enough that if you help him along, he makes sense. But by himself, he's like not really with it. He's a little bit out of it. So if he's fully asleep, it's no good. But if he is just drowsing and half in and out of consciousness, then it's okay. There is a question that the Achronim discuss, which is, can you read for others in that state? Perhaps he can fulfill the obligation for himself, but if he's reading for others half asleep, are they yotzei? And they are divided on that topic. We are going to stop here. We'll continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.